G'day folks, and welcome to Stick With It, APA's podcast for its pilots. President Tony Lucas has found some time in his busy schedule to have a chat with us today about the bubbling issue of reduced crew operations, or RCO as it's called. Welcome, Tony.
G'day, Hoff. Thanks for having me on.
Now, having spoken to pilots on the line, I think it's interesting that there is a bit of an awareness sort of about RCO, but the question is whether or not how much of a threat it's being viewed by, the current generation of pilots regarding the next generation. So what's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, look, I think it's one of those things that if you're sort of age 58 upwards, it's probably not a concern of yours. I think for any pilots that sort of under that age, this is looming on our radar, and I think it's a bigger issue than probably what we're aware. Probably the important part is to understand what the steps are that the manufacturers and the airlines are looking at. So we refer to this as reduced crew operations, or RCO. It's actually two subcategories of projects that are underway by Airbus to Salt in collaboration with Cathay Pacific and some other airlines. One is what they call single pilot operations, which is absolutely looking at airliners with a single pilot. Now, there's a lot of work that needs to go into that one, and I don't think that is something that we're going to see in the short term, but certainly is probably well beyond 2030 before we're going to see it. The one that we are likely to see is what Airbus describes as enhanced minimum crew operations. And that's the project that would see us reduced to one pilot on the flight deck during the crew segments of a flight. And that is something that both Airbus to Salt and some airlines are looking at very closely. And that is the one that they're likely to try and introduce within my career lifetime, and I'm 52 years old. And so realistically, that should be a concern to any of us that have got more than a decade of our careers to go in the airline.
So I know that we touched on this a couple of months ago when you guys had just returned from the IFALPA conference in Montreal, but it's probably worthwhile just a bit of a refresher. I know you've touched a little bit on it, but at that conference, there was some feedback from both, I think, Airbus and Boeing. So can you give us a bit of an update or just a refresher on what was discussed there?
Yeah, so look, Boeing at this stage don't seem to be going down this road much at all. Of course, one of Boeing's concerns, though, that they were talking about on the sidelines of the conference is that if Airbus is successful with this with regulators, that Boeing will be forced to go down this road, because otherwise Airbus ends up with a competitive advantage over them. But they're not planning to go down this road at this stage. It's certainly being an Airbus European-driven initiative. Mm-hmm. So the areas that came out of IFALPA that are of concern to us is what is Airbus is looking at. And so they're looking at systems and situations whereby there will at times be no pilots on the flight deck, that the airplane will be okay to operate whilst the one pilot on the flight deck during cruise has to go to the toilet and there'll be no pilots on the flight deck. That's kind of what they're gearing up for. Some of the technologies they're investigating, auto depressurization scenarios, auto TCAS, those types of things, which are coming to aircraft in the Qantas fleet soon. I know there's a project for the A330 to have an auto TCAS at some stage in the not too distant future. These sorts of technologies are technologies that they will use to justify the fact that there only needs to be one pilot during the cruise. Now, of course, for us as pilots, we need to understand, we look at it instinctively and go that we don't think that is something that is rational, sane, and there are plenty of problems that we can identify with it. We'd be naive to think that the manufacturers are not looking at some of the things that we're addressing, that concern us.
So basically it is more advanced than most of us think.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And all the issues that we think up that are a concern, like those physiological needs of needing to go to the toilet, the manufacturers are actively considering and they have a plan in place to try and address those things. Yes, it involves zero pilots on the flight deck. And again, don't think that's sane or responsible, but they're certainly going to market a campaign, I suspect, that says that is something that's possible to be done.
So I know that from our space, and we've mentioned this before in the other podcasts and also some comms, that APA's been doing some work on trying to raise awareness on this. We then have released a or commissioned public polling on the issue. Can you tell us a little bit about the results that came back from that Redbridge poll, please?
Yeah, I think there's two important bits of information that came out from that poll. The first one is that those that are aware of the push disagree vehemently with it. Mm-hmm. The travelling public, if they know about the push, think it's just as insane as we do. And that those numbers are around about 90% or so. The other interesting number, though, is that about actually only 25% of the travelling public are aware. And that's something that we need to work on to try and improve. That's an area where we can definitely improve. I think there's two aspects to that. One, there's just us kind of going out every now and then just reminding the public and just gradually increasing that number up.
Yep.
Just through such as releasing that polling, such as talking about it when the subject comes up, dealing with it when people approach us about it. But also, I think there'll come a time where we need to be a bit more proactive in jumping on opportunities, such as when there's a fault with some sort of AI thing. We can piggyback off that and, again, just leverage that into a bit more awareness of the travelling public as to what's going on.
So it seems, Tony, to me that raising public awareness of this issue is actually the trick, because obviously once people are aware of it, they're dead set against it. As you said, we're going to sort of look for opportunities from APA's perspective, but like a lot of things with APA, we need the members to help with this issue. So how can they help, and how are we going to, I guess, give them some ideas about, you know, information that they can kick around at Christmas barbecues in coming months, for example?
Yeah, look, there's some good resources that IFALPA have put together. Certainly if our crew go and have a look at safetystartswith2.com, there's some resources there just in terms of photos for social media handles and all that kind of stuff, just so that friends and family that connect with you on social media can see stuff like that. So that's a really basic way to start. I think one of the things that we will do is within the coming months, there are some resources that we've got for pilots that just go into some of the talking points that are important to bring up. So if you see that APA has been active in media, sharing those articles on your own social media is really important. If you get asked about it at Christmas barbecues, having the talking points that we'll send out to pilots and just running through those talking points as well, I think is really important. It's almost one of those things that any opportunity a pilot has to educate anyone about this, about the realities of this initiative, is going to help and be a benefit.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think, you know, one of the things that we've been using quite successfully in the past is, I guess, that differentiation between the technological aspect of it. And as you said, you know, the notion that you're going to leave the computer alone, that, you know, if the TCAS has to do an auto TCAS event, an RA event, and doesn't work, what's the ramifications for that? So there's the technological aspect. I know as well we've also looked at just even the human factors aspect of, you know, sitting by yourself for hours at a time, as well as also then how does the next generation of pilot learn from the current generation of pilot? So we'll get some stuff out to our members to sort of cover off a lot of those different things, because I think, Tony, in my experience has been that, you know, the media that you talk to is very much on side. So the more people, as we said, we can get the message out to, that's just going to start building awareness so that if it then, I guess, comes on as a legislative issue, you know, the awareness is already there. So I guess talking a bit more about that from a legislative perspective, what's been done at the federal government level about this, Tony?
Well, look, we've already had a delegation at Canberra talking to some ministerial advisors about this. The good news is, in some respects, the government's not looking at this as a boiling issue for them at the moment. They don't see it as being something relevant for them. That's both good news and bad news for us, I think. On the one hand, it means that nothing's going to happen soon, and certainly nothing's going to happen that surprises us, because it's just not on their radar. The bad news is it's not on their radar. And so it means that it does allow the opportunity for the manufacturers to have come up with a solid solution and to sell it to the to various governments and just have them kind of go, oh, that sounds pretty cool, and endorse it. It's important for us to have good relationships both with the federal government and the opposition, so that it means that when we need to, we can reach out to them and they'll take our call on issues such as this and hear our perspective. And I think our perspective is a strong one. As the people that do the job, I think they're interested in our perspective on this. And I don't think they quite realise the significant step change that aviation will take. One of the key things about this initiative is that with every other safety initiative that's come through aviation, EGPWS, TCAS, instrument landing systems and so on, they've all come as a result of an identified safety deficiency. This initiative, this reduced crew operations, isn't coming about as a result of a safety deficiency. This is coming about specifically to reduce the number of pilots on the flight deck. There's no safety under thing driving that. The interesting part of that argument, though, is that the manufacturer is aware of this also. And so they're actually approaching this from a safety angle, i.e., how much better would it be on a Jakarta-Sydney flight, which is normally two crew, if we could actually reduce that and have one of the crew in the bunk, and therefore you would get more rest on that flight. So they'll actually use that safety angle to further their own aims on this project, that it result in enhanced safety outcomes and enhanced fatigue outcomes, even though the downside risk in crews, you and I and all our members would look at and go, that's simply not worth it.
I can't see myself getting a lot of sleep in the bunk knowing there was only one person sitting up the front somehow, Tony.
Yes, and I agree, and that's why it's important to be able to have those conversations with ministers and their advisors, to be able to say to them that's the impact. As the pilot in command, I'm not going to necessarily want to sleep, knowing that at some stage that first officer is going to get out of the seat and leave no one at the controls whilst they go to the toilet.
Yes, it's, and I think it makes sense to all of us. I think it makes sense to most of the public when you talk to them about it. And as we just, again, wanted to really reiterate that this is about, you know, our members helping us to just raise awareness of the issue. So is there anything else you'd like to add to this discussion, Tony?
Look, there's a couple of points I think we should reiterate rather than add off. I think the important thing is that all our members need to play their part in this journey. Any chance you get, we need to almost evangelise the travelling public on this initiative, your friends, your family, those you come into contact with regularly. We need to be really on the ball about not missing opportunities to explain to people why this is such a dangerous idea, covering off the concepts from the fact that this is not a change that is going to necessarily enhance safety, that it makes it difficult to train people. It makes it difficult to ensure that there's an adequate level of risk on the flight deck. Those conversations are in conversations all our members need to be prepared to have on an ongoing basis, not just next week or next month, or this is going to be a long-term battle for the membership. This is going to be a 5 to 10 year deal that we are going to need to continue to visit time and again. In the meantime, know that your association is going to keep advocating about this issue to the regulator, to government, and to the travelling public at every chance we get, to make sure that they are aware, that we raise awareness on it. So those are a couple of things that I think that are important to reiterate.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, we can't allow them to normalise this. You know, it's, dare I say it, computers crash, planes shouldn't.
Yeah, look, and it's a great line, Hoff. It's one that I've admired for a long time. We'll certainly need to consider whether or not we have to get that blunt with the travelling public. And that will depend a little bit on how this issue progresses over the next little while. I think in some respects, we've seen the manufacturers go a little bit quiet on the issue. So they're certainly not necessarily championing things like they used to, simply because they know that pilot organisations all over the world recognise the inherent risk with this operation and already marshalling our forces against it. So it is a great line. But, yeah, how to deploy it is probably part of the discussion that we'll have over the medium term.
Yeah, we'll workshop that one. But I guess, yeah, we just, want people to understand. I guess it's be alert, not alarm, but we need you to keep explaining to friends and family that it's coming, and we're going to keep actively campaigning against it, so that, RCO doesn't become normalised in this country and on an aeroplane. So thanks again, Tony, for your time. Obviously you're very busy in your role, so we appreciate it today. We'll be back with another episode soon. But in the meantime, fly safe with that other person next to you and stick with it.